tonight in Mitzvah Shem we complete our first Siman, Siman Pei Zayin. Next week in Mitzvah Shem we're gonna surge into Siman Pei Ches, a shorter Siman, and in many ways a lighter Siman. That Siman Pei Zayin ends with a bang. The sugyas of Keva are pretty a tough read, a lot of details. And also a number of yisodos. So I want to highlight or put together the pieces, but also highlight some of the key larger yisodos that emerge. Let's begin just with identifying, redefining basics. I want to thank Shlomo for sending an article my way that gives some of the backgrounds as well, the halachic conversation and the metzias. So the sugya of Keva, which is the last three se'ifim in Siman Pei Zayin, so sugya of Keva is rooted, as we saw, in a Mishnah near the end of our perek, second to last Mishnah, Kufta Zayin Amud Aleph, going on to Kufta Zayin Beis, as well as a discussion in Masachas Avodah Zarah in the second perek. So what is the Keva? So as we know, one of the two simanim for a kosher land animal, the Chumash gives, is that it's malagera, that it's a ruminant, that it chews its cud. That what that means is there are a number of mammals which are non-predators, number of mammals which are prey, which one of the adaptations that they have is that they eat and they don't fully digest, and then it comes back up later on, and then it goes back down and gets more fully digested. In order for that to work, so ruminants have multiple stomachs. In particular, kosher animals have four stomachs, and each one does a different stage, a different phase of the digestion. The keva is that stomach which, if you shecht a young nursing cow or a young nursing sheep, you open the keva, you'll find cheese inside, and that's because the keva exudes a enzyme called rennet, which coagulates milk. We started talking last week a little bit about cheese making in the context of mechalav. The process of cheese making essentially is that you use an enzyme, sometimes acid, sometimes an enzyme, in order to clump the solids in milk together, in order to coagulate the protein and curdle it and draw the solids together. So one way of doing that is to do it the way nature does it. Ruminants are built to cheese within their cave of stomach. So that's a natural process, and that's a process that at some point human beings picked up on and realized that you can do it artificially as well. It doesn't have to just be, you can have a vat of milk that was milked from a cow, and you add some cava to it, and that will turn that milk into cheese. And the Mishnayos talk about it here, Kufta Zayim Ralph onto Kufta Zayim Beis. So Rashi Ray points out that the Mishnayos are using two subtly different terminologies. We talk about keva, we talk about orshal keva. So really, the keva is the stomach. But the way the Mishnah uses it, orshal keva means the actual chunk of the flesh, the wall of that stomach, whereas keva means the contents of the keva. And when you use it to make cheese, you can do one of two ways. There are three possibilities. You have the, if you shecht a calf, so inside the keva, the contents of the keva are already cheese. They have already turned to cheese naturally. You can also take some of that material, the contents of the keva, which the Mishnah calls keva, you can take that and put that into a vat of milk and turn that into cheese. That's called being mamid bekeva, or you can be mamid be'orshal keva. I could take actually a piece of the keva wall and put that into milk and turn that into cheese. So the Mishnah talks about both, and the Gemara here in Chulin keeps referring us back to the sugya of Avodah Zarah. So what's going on in Avodah Zarah? You have a series of three Mishnayos, and near the end of the second parak of Avodah Zarah, that talk about three different categories of non-Jewish foods. Three different categories of machalei atah. There are those which are asr even bahana. There are those which are mutar bahana but asr bahila. And then there are those which are heter gamma. The ones which are asr bahana tend to be avodah zara related. That's why there's an isr hana. Then you have the middle category which are treif, which are asr bahila for some reason or another, but there's no connection to avodah zara. They're not asr bahana, they're mutar bahana. For instance, bishul akum is on the middle list. It's not an avodah zara concern. The Chazal forbade bishul akum, and the Gemara explains as a speed bump to limit socialization that might lead to interdain and intermarriage. Sometimes you have non-Jewish foods such as chalav akum, which are forbidden not because of the social implication, but because of a kashrus concern. The Gemara explains the chalav akum is aser. You have if the non-Jew milked an animal, and there was no oversight of a Jewish mashgiach, nor were there any other equivalent, such as governmental oversight. So then chalav akum is aser midrabanan because of a concern that it may contain some non-kosher milk. As an aside, what does non-kosher milk mean? How does milk become non-kosher? Milk clearly is not the same as the animal that it emerges from. If milk had the same status as the animal that it emerges from, then every milk would be basar b'chalav. Milk always emerges from meat. So clearly milk is not the exact same thing. It's just because if milk comes out of a cow, it's not salacious. So the Mishnah talks about in the first paragraph of Bechoros, there is a din of yotze min ha'aser aser. Milk from a pig isn't pig. It's not basar chazir. It's not a lav of basar chazir, but it's a new iser. The yotze min ha'aser is aser. That the Gemara darshans from when they have the list of the non-kosher birds, and Torah has a long list of all the 30 or so species of non-kosher birds. When the Torah refers to the ostrich, it doesn't refer to the yana, it refers to the basa yana. Well, if the yana is treif, obviously basa yana is the yana itself. So what do you have to talk about? The ostrich's daughter? Obviously the ostrich's daughter is an ostrich itself. So the Gemara explains that the basa yana is a reference to the egg. That even the egg of the ostrich is treif, and that becomes the source for this notion of yotze min ha'aser aser. The egg isn't flesh of an ostrich, but it's a derivative iser. That's why the egg of a trefa species of bird, or the milk of a trefa species of mammal, is yotze min ha'aser aser. That's only if it's yotze from a non-kosher species. Okay, so that's why camel's milk is treif, and cow's milk is kosher, so it appears to be cow's milk. The nachri is selling this to me as cow's milk. If I don't know that that's the case, there was no hashkacha, so midrabanan, chalav akum is aser again. Both bishul akum and chalav akum are on the list, the middle list of those items which are mutar bahana ba'asr bachilba for two different reasons. And why do I stress that this middle list, the list on lamed heim ebez avodah zara, the items which are dvarim shel nachrim, which are mutar bahana ba'asr bachilba, why do I stress the different reasons for it? That's because in the previous, the first item, which is aser, and perhaps only aser bachila, appears in the previous Mishnah. And the first of these three Mishnayos, and daf chavtes and beig, you have the long list of items which are aser even bahana. And then the Mishnah mentions that, by the way, cheese, gevinas akim is also aser. And a long, fascinating shock of attire, very uncharacteristic. Have shock of attire mishnayis, and here's not only shock of attire; it's a little bit of a story. The Gemara explains the background. There was a Tana who was absent from yeshiva the day that they instituted the gzeira on givin sakum, and the Tanaim had a rule that when you make a gzeira, so you don't reveal the rationale for 12 months, because if you give the rationale, so then. Everyone is an Ibra Chacham. Everyone says, it doesn't apply to me. And that could vary. If you give the rationale right away, very often that could erode the entire Gzeir. It's never really going to get off the ground. That's why in most cases, there were exceptions, but in most cases, the Tanaim would not reveal the rationale until the Gzeirah had already set in. So this happened to a Tana who could have been there, and he could have been a part of the vote, but because he wasn't there, he got hit by this. That's what the Mishnah says. Rabbi Yishmael wasn't there, and he wanted to know how come they did the Eitz Gzeirah Zakim. The Mishnah tells the whole story. They didn't want to tell him. They got into a conversation about Pasuk Yishir Shirim, anything but to explain. So the Gemara says, hey, 1 second. So in Daf Lamed Hey, the Gemara says, so Taka. The Mishnah never told us why it's Aser. So Taka, why is it Aser? What's wrong with being a Sakim? Our Maram had many, many different suggestions. Some of them have an Avodah Zarah connection and potentially would create an Iser Hana. And others are do not have an Avodah Zarah connection, therefore there's no Isra Hana, but it's Aser Ba'Achila. And particularly, the Gemara says that Shmuel said the reason why it's Aser is because Ma'amidin Osab or Kevas Nevel. The reason why his suggestion, how come Gvinas Akam is Aser, is because of why they used a trefa ingredient to coagulate. They used a piece of the keva, or kevas nevela. And the Gemara derives from that, and this point is quoted as well as you saw in our sugi in Chulin. That the or kevas nevela is a problem, but the kevas nevela is not a problem. If you make cheese using the flesh of the cave of a trefa animal, that would be a problem. That would be a problem. So, but if you just use the contents itself, the contents itself are not problematic. The contents itself are not problematic. And the Gemara says that's the ultimate conclusion. There was a difference of opinion among the Tanaim, but that was the ultimate maskana. If you're mamed ba'or kevas nevela, it's a problem. If you're mamed b'kevas nevela, that is not an issue. So that raises, and you take a look in Shulchan Aruch, in Sif Yud Aleph, that's what they tell you. Hamamid ba'or kevas nevela u'trefa, jumping to the middle of the Sif. Se'if yud alef. Hamamid ba'or kevas nevela u'trefa u'behema tamea oser b'kolshu. If you cheese make with the flesh of kevas nevela, the keva of a trefa animal didn't have a proper shritim, so then it's going to be a problem. That's oser b'kolshu. That's based on the Gemara. That's based on the Gemara, that the reason why they forbade Gvinas Akum, according to the Amor Shmuel, the reason why they forbade the Gvinas Akum is because of the use of Or Kevas Nevela. It sounds like if we would have used Or Kevas Kshe, and that makes two critical points. And here it comes to the beginning of where the Sugya unfolds. It's the concern in Gvinas Akum and in any other community you might make is specifically Or Kevas Nevela. Or Kevas Nevela as opposed to what? Or Kevas Nevela as opposed to Kevas Nevela. Or Kevas Nevela as opposed to the contents of the natural cheese that you find in the keva. That would not be a problem. Even in a trefa animal. That wouldn't be a problem. It's only the Or Kevas Nevela. And the other issue is it's only Or Kevas Nevela as opposed to Or Kevas Kshera. So we gotta think about both of those points. Gotta understand both of those points. You got to understand both of those points. So let's begin with the Basar B'Chalav aspect. So let's take a look at the full discussion here in Sif Yud Aleph. Sif Yud Aleph, in a sense, Se'ifim Tes and Yud, a little bit of a footnote, and that the primary conversation is in Sif Yud Aleph. In Hamid Gavina Ba'ar Kevas Kshera. If you use a cut of the tissue from a kosher animal, from a cow which was geshachten, so you take a piece of the keva, in yeshba tambasar asura, for imlav muteras. Of al mamid, so then it depends if it's sounds like a bitzel b'shishim. Of al mamid ba'ar kevas nevelo treifu behema temeya osir b'kulsha. If you're mamid with a little piece of the kevas nevela, that's going to be a problem, and there's no bittul. Why is that? So that's the first major concept here. Mishum d'davar ha'aser ba'asel Rama explains umamid afilu be'elef lo bittul. Rama says here we have a yisod, quoting again from Rishonim, that even though in general, if you we have a rule of Tam Keker. In general, we have a rule, you have a Davar Asr gets mixed into a Davar Mukter, and a big challenge, a little bit of bacon falls in, or I have a big Fleshik challenge, a little bit of milk falls in. So typically, we have a rule that we know about. It comes up in Perak Al HaBasar, comes up in the previous Perak Gid HaNasha, that they have Bitzel B'Shishim. What's Bitzel B'Shishim based on? How come things are batel b'shishim? So that the Gemara explains is based on the issue of nisin asam. If you have enough bacon, this we discussed in previous chapters, you have enough bacon that it gives flavor to the whole pot, the whole thing tastes like bacon, so then that's tam ke'ikar. If it's flavored like bacon, so it's also the same way bacon itself is aser. And obviously that's the definition of basar b'chalav. If you have enough milk to give flavor to the meat, and we'll get to that in greater length, simin sadi beis, based on the Mishnah in our Perek Dav Kuvches, enough milk to give flavor to the meat, so then you have yourself a basar b'chalav problem. If the piece of bacon is so tiny, the drop of milk is so small, that it's so diluted, it doesn't give flavor, it's not been no same time, there's no time kicker, there's no flavor, so then it's mutter. So that should normally be the rule. So a little bit of bacon falls in, if it's 60 times, either, as the Shulchan Aruch says, is there enough to actually give flavor? The Shach comments as if Kat Lamadalid, he says, when you learn Taruvas, Ramah says, we Ashkenazim avoid actually trying to directly taste things, we just use as a rule of thumb, use a rule of 1 to 60, the bitul b'shishim. Okay, so normally, a little piece of bacon falls in, and there's 60 times as much in the chalent as a little piece of bacon, so you say, bitul b'shishim, you're not going to be able to taste the bacon. The whole you have to, if you can pull out the piece of bacon, pull it out. But the chalent is mutter. Batel b'shishim. Except for here. I have a big vat of milk, and I threw in a tiny piece of or kevas nevela, a little piece of bacon. There wasn't a piece of bacon, it was a piece of the, the pig's stomach, or a piece of a cow that never proper shechita, so it's a nevela. I took a little piece of its keva stomach, I threw it in, one little piece. It's 1,000 times as much milk as that little piece of treif of meat. And yet, it's all treif. That's what Shulchan Aruch says. Mamed ba'or kevas nevela treifa behema tameya oser bekolshu. It's not batel b'shishim. If it's a kosher animal, then it's batel b'shishim. If it's a treif animal, it's not batel b'shishim. How come? So here we have, over the course of Hilchos Taruvos, there are a number of different exceptions to Bitul B'Shishim. There are various cases, even though this little item, the little piece of Isra that falls into the big vat of Hetzer, it's Bitul B'Shishim, there are various exceptions where that little item is so significant that it doesn't lose its identity even though it's Bitul B'Shishim. Here's one of the exceptions, the ones relevant to us right now, is Davar HaMa'amid. Yes, that little piece of or hakeva, of treifa meat, was tiny, but it's not batel b'shishim because you might not be able to taste it. It's 1 to 500. You're not going to be able to taste it. Yeah, but it made a different impact. It was a davar hamamid. You can tell it's here. How can you tell? Not because you can taste it. You can tell it's here because before I had liquid milk and now I have a hunk of cheese. So it's a davar hamamid. It makes it stand. It changed the texture of the vat of milk. So even though it cannot be sensed through taste, but it can be sensed because it had a different type of impact. Not that it flavored everything, but that it changed the entire texture. It took milk and it made it into cheese. So that's the rule of Davar HaMamed. Davar HaMamed, as Rama quotes here, Davar HaMamed afilu be'elef lo bata. That's the rule. Okay. That principle comes up elsewhere in Israel also. That comes up here. Yeah.
So why
my Lord gave us Sheira? Oh, Givaldix. And the question is, what? One second. If you're telling me that Davar HaMamed is an exception to the normal rule of Bittul Lashishim, great. So then, even if it's a kosher animal, not only kosher species, but it had a shechita. It's not an avpei mitameh. It's not an avela. Mamed gvin ba'or kevas ksher. Why is that any better? But or kevas ksher is fleshik. Or kevas ksher is fleshik. So I took a piece of kosher meat and I threw it into a vat of milk. So if I took a piece of kosher meat, I threw into a cup of milk and I cooked them up, there's no bittul b'shishim, obviously that's basar b'chal. So here you're telling me, wow, it's a big vat of milk. Bittul b'shishim, yeah, but davar ha'mamed lo bato. But davar ha'mamed lo bato. So how do you understand that? Yeah, why should there be any difference between Isser and Teheter versus basar and Techalav? That or kevas ksher is a piece of basar. So the Shach in Sifkat Lamed Hay points out, and it's really the Rambam is already formulates that. The Rambam explains, this is what Shach quotes, very fascinating. He says, here we come to a fundamental yesod in the definition of basar b'chal. This looks like we're in the middle, like in the thicket of details, davar ha'mamed and keva, cheese making. So yeah, but here we just arrived at a fundamental idea. The Shach says, "Hachiluk bezesiv kat lamin." Hey, kasra poskim or kevas ksheira. When you have the keva, the or hakeva of a kosher animal, me'achishu muta b'fnei atzmo, v'les be'isal mishum chibur im agvina. Since it itself is kosher, the Easter only begins the basar b'chalav once you have a combination of basar and chalav. As long as there's no transfer of flavor, it's not basar b'chalav. Hai ba pekai. Each one stands on its own. But orha nevela is already usher in of itself. The second case in the sif, I have a treifa animal. So the orha keva is in of itself treif, because it's a treifa animal. So then, davar ha'mamed lo batel. What does that mean? What's the shach driving at? I don't understand, but yeah, it's only usher once they're connected, if it's kosher. Yeah, but they are connected, because I have a piece of kosher meat in a vat of milk. It's not batel. Davar ha'mamed lo batel. So what does it help? So that's what the Rambam appears to already say, and Achronim explains some more, that what we're really saying, we're going back to a concept we already touched on earlier, that when the Gemara says in Daf Kuf Ches, I think we saw this in the very first Chabura, the Gemara says in Daf Kuf Ches that Derech Bishul Asra Torah, that the definition of Bas B'Chalav is that the Basar and Chalav are min HaTorah, Bas B'Chalav Daraisa, when they are combined Derech Bishul. When they're combined Derech Bishul. So what does that mean? So on the one hand, and on the other hand. So on the one hand, that means two things, as we discussed. There has to be, we discussed earlier, at the beginning of the Siman, that there has to be an Asinas Tam Derech Bishul. That if there's a transfer of flavor from one to the other without the use of heat, right, if you just have a piece of cold meat sitting in cold milk for 24 hours, Kavush Kimavushal, there is a transfer of flavor. If you had a piece of treifa meat sitting in orange juice for 24 hours, you'd say the orange juice became treif because it absorbed the flavor b'liya but sodium through kavush, through a 24-hour soak. Or if it was something salty meat with kosher meat, and they sit together, there's a transfer of b'liya but sodium, a transfer of flavor without heat through melicha. Yes, but in the world of bas b'chalav, we say that's only bas b'chalav drabanan. Why? The bas and chalav gave flavor to one another. The answer is yes. They gave flavor, but not derech bishul. They gave flavor through some other method of time transfer, through kavush or through maliach. That's not basar b'chalav daraisa. Derech bishul asur Torah. Only if one gives flavor only if one gives flavor to the other. But here, what we're noticing here is that Derech Bishul Asur Torah means two things. It means that there's no basar b'chalav unless the transfer of flavor is via Bishul. But it also means that there's no basar b'chalav unless there's an asinas tam. That without a transfer of flavor, even if you have basar and you have chalav, it's not basar b'chalav unless there's a transfer of flavor from one to another.
I put the din of maimed that had nothing to do with tam. As much as if this thing creates the fermentation, it's not an inyan of tam as much as this created the item. How do those two interplay? Maimed means that this little thing created.
Right, and therefore it's significant enough.
Right.
That's not batal.
But that's an inyan of tam. I didn't think that was an inyan of tam.
Correct. It doesn't. Right. Exactly. That's why normally, if I have a little piece of iser falls into 1,000 times as much hatra, I say it's batal. Why? Because there's no tam, so the whole thing is batal. Batal brov, batal b'shishim. There's no tam ke'ikar to get in the way of the bittul. But if that little piece of Isra fell into the hetzer of Hamamed, so then I say it doesn't lose its significance, even though it's a tiny drop, even though it's 0.1%, but because it's having such a significant impact on all the hetzer, because it was Mamed, the hetzer, turned it from liquid to solid, let's say, so Mamela doesn't lose its significance, even though it's not tasteable. It's too diluted to be tasteable, but it's not too diluted to have made a different type of impact. So I don't need Tom for it to remain Asr, because it maintains its presence, it maintains its identity because of its significance.
Why does Basar B'chalav play a role here if Maimed has nothing to do with it?
So if I have a piece of a Dover Asr, which is being Mam and a Dover Heter, for instance, the second case on Shulchan Aruch, or Kevas Nevela, so the or Kevas Nevela's treif, as the Shach points out, it's treif on its own. It's Nevela, it's Basar Nevela. So I have Basar Nevela, which is being mamed all this formerly kosher milk by turning into cheese. So I cannot say that the nevela is batal in the milk because it was mamed the milk. But the Shulchan Aruch says, but if the davar ha-mamed isn't treif, it's just fleishik, I have something which is fleishik, be mamed something which is milchik, I have a little piece of kevas ksheira or kevas ksheira, and it's mamed all the milk into cheese. So then I say, look, as long as the piece of meat is small enough that's batal b'shishim, it's not no Saint Tom, mutter. So the question is, why be mutter? But let's say that it's a problem because of Davar HaMamed. So the Shach says, no, Davar HaMamed is only going to apply, Davar HaMamed lo batal only applies when the Davar HaMamed is already usher in and of itself. When the Davar HaMamed is kosher, just happens to be fleishik, and the rest of it is milchik, then Davar HaMamed doesn't play a role. Why? So he seems to be saying is this idea. This idea, which I had sent out over the course of the week, it's an added Maram Komos, the Gemara, the we already saw in a previous Chabur, I think we were talking about Marasayan, that the Rosh has the Halachas of Shatna, the Hilchas Klai Begadim nestled in the middle of the ninth parak of Nida. All of Hilchas Klai Begadim, mostly based on Mishnayis, the end of Kalayim, he has it in a section in the middle of the ninth parak of Nida because of a brisa and a sugya Nida samach alaf on base that begins with this brisa that said you have a beged sha'ava bo kelayim. I have a whole linen garment with one thread of wool lost in there somewhere, or vice versa, a whole woolen garment with one thread of linen in there somewhere. So Gemara says that's a real problem. You know, one thread, the whole garment. That's the problem. So Tosis and the Rush say, what's the problem? Batal barov. If it got lost, if I see where it is, so then it's not batal. It's nikar b'makoma, it's not a tarovis. But if it's, I can't find this one thread, 10,000 threads in the shirt, 100,000 threads in the shirt, and one of the 10,000 threads, 100,000 threads is the other type, if I don't know where it is, clearly a rov and a miut, so So I should say, and the Easter is not Nikar bin Makomo. I can't tell which one is which. So I should say it's Batal. The Tosfos Rashi explain, no. It's not Batal. Batal is when you have Easter falls into Heter. So the Easter loses identity to the Heter. But here, the Easter is the combination of Tzemer and Pishtin. That's what Shabbos is. So I can't say Batal, because it's not Easter versus Heter. The Easter is the combination of both of them. So the whole Beged is Shanes. It's not that it's 0.1% Shanes. It's 100% Shanes. Because it's 1% wool and 99% linen, it's 100% Shanes. So that's what Tosfos says. You can't say Bittel on Shatnez. You can't say Tzemer is Bittel to the Pishtim, because they are together, the Issa. The Issa is a Tziruf of Tzemer and Pishtim. So then they say, one second, have a Bas B'chala. So by Tosfos say, one second, how does Bas B'chala work? So by the same logic, you tell me one thread of Pishtim in the whole bag of Tzemer is not Bittel because the whole thing is Usser. They say one drop of milk in a whole pot of meat, Baiter. The whole thing is Usser. So we have a Mishnah in Daf Kuf Chesam and Al. Tipas Chala falls into Kedera Shal Basar if there's Shishim, if there's any Benos and Tam is Mutter. So how come the one thread of wool is not bottled to the whole beggar of Pishtim, but the one drop of milk is bottled to the Basar? So by Taisa say, one second, what's going on? They come with these, so which the Rush explains. He says, no, you understand. Nesinas Tam is a definition of Basar B'chalav. It's true that maybe in theory I should say I have one drop of milk, a whole pot of meat, that's like one thread of wool and a whole bag of the Pishtim. This is Basar B'chalav. He says, but the point is, if it's not Nesinas Tam, then it's not Basar B'chalav to begin with. The definition of Basar B'chalav is a combination of two elements, two dimensions. Derech Bishl Asra Torah means that there are no saint, there's Nesinas Tam via Bishl. That there's a sharing of flavors through Bishl. So if they shared flavors, there was no Bishl, and the Kavash Kimavushal, we just Kavash or just Maliach, that's not Bas V'chalav Daraisa. But in the reverse, also the Rush says, if it is Derech Bishl, I'm cooking one drop of milk in a pot of meat, but there's no Nesinas Tam. So it's fundamentally, it's not, oh, it's Batal because it's no Nesinas Tam. It's not even Basar B'chalav. Without Nesinas Tam, it's not, by definition, Basar B'chalav Daraisa at all. The whole unlike Tzemer and Pishtim. Tzemer and Pishtim, if it is Tzemer and Pishtim in the same garment, without getting into details of Shanas, in principle, okay, now you have Shanas. But here, it's not enough to have milk and meat side by side. Derech Bishl Asra Torah, which again goes back to the fact that Torah keeps referring to, in all three psukim, refers to Bas B'chalav as Lo Sivashel, the Torah is telling me a pair of ideas. It has to be Derech Bishl, and it has to be Nesinas Tam. The Nesinas Tam is a more than just Tam Kikr, it's not Batal. Nesinas Tam in Bas B'chalav is a definition of what Bas B'chalav is. If you cook them together, but there was no Nesinas Tam, that's not Bas B'chalav by definition. So even though by Shatnez I say the one thread is not bottled to the 10,000 threads, because Bitsiruf Shneim, it is the Isser, but by Bas B'chalav, Tipas Chal falls into meat, it is bottled, if the Nonesi is Tom, because that's not Bas B'chalav at all. And that appears to be what's going on here as well. That if I have, that's what the Shach is saying, if I have a piece of tray for meat, teeny tiny piece of tray for meat, which is a mom and a whole vat of milk. The cave, or cave is nevela, is tray. Why? Because it's nevela. It's besar nevela. It's it. It's tray on its own. So then, once it's tray on its own, if a dover aser is mom and this whole vat of milk, even though it's, we should have said it's bottle, it's a 1 to 10,000 ratio, it doesn't matter. Dover mom is no bottle. So the whole vat of milk, which became cheese, is going to be tray, because that one tiny piece of Trefa or Kevas Nevel. But if it's or Kevas Kshera, that's what the Shach was saying. It's only Aser Bichiburo. In other words, until I can create, as long as I just have Basar and Chalav side by side, there's nothing. There's nothing. That's not Basar Chalav. I have no Isser. I have an Isser once they're combined. But they are combined because the little bit of Basar is Davar Mamas, not Batel. And it's here mixed in with the rest of the milk. in the form of this cheese. Yeah, but they're not combined derech bishel, meaning even if I were to cook this cheese, they're not combined because there's no nesinas tam. And without nesinas tam, it's zero. Without nesinas tam, it's zero. So if I have a piece of meat and a piece of cheese and I eat them together, so then I say, okay, so that's an issur d'rabbanan. But here, I have nothing. Here, I have nothing. Yeah.
So what if you did the reverse? I mean, extent of you overcook the meat so much, it's burnt. It doesn't taste like meat anymore. But you actually cook the meat with the cheese. The meat is now, it's not meat. It was meat, but now, so is that mean in that situation, since you're not giving no same time anymore, because you burnt the piece of meat, that then if that's not an isser? You went to the full extent, you cooked meat and milk together. You actually overcooked the meat so much it doesn't have a taste anymore. So then you're not over because it's not nosing tom anymore?
Yeah, so Eric is asking, so you did cook, you took regular milk and regular meat, you cooked them together, but you cooked them for so long that eventually the basar is burnt beyond recognition.
Right.
So you're raising one or two issues which I think we're going to see as we proceed into later simanim. So number one, when something is nifsal me'achila, so then okay, if I take a piece of meat and I overcook, I burn it so badly that it tastes horrible, it's nifsal me'achila, so in the chanami, it's no longer creating iser. Beyond that, I think the more subtle issue that you're touching on, which will come up mirtz Hashem when we get to, in many ways, the heart of the tam ke'iker bas b'chol of nexus. Is going to be in Siman Sadi Beis. That's the Siman about the Mishnah of Tipas Chalav, and how does Bittel work, and how far does it travel, and so on and so forth. So one of the issues that kind of come up there, it's a little premature to raise it now, but let me at least touch on it, is let's say I cooked the milk and meat together, and then I extracted some of the milk. Or that's called Efshar Lo Sachta. Or let's say I extracted all of the milk, or vice versa. I cooked meat and milk together, and then I managed to, after they were blended, I then chemically or physically extracted everything. Maybe all the meat was fatty. I let it rise to the surface, I skim it off, or something like that. That's what's called Efshar Lahafrido. If I entirely separated them, so I had cooked them together, but now I removed all the flavor. So that's an interesting discussion, which will relate to this as well. And then again, touches on, well, I had Bas B'chol, but now there's no longer Tom. So I say, once I got rid of the Tom, did the Bas B'chol, Isser Bas B'chol disappear or not? Yeah, so that's a further application of this idea. But again, this core idea, it's remarkable, the way the siman is organized, is that we began with one aspect of Derech Bishul Asra Torah, the fact that it has to be Bishul, as opposed to Nesinas Tam without Bishul, and we're ending with sort of the other end, that Derech Bishul Asra Torah also means it has to be Nesinas Tam. That Devar Mamon alone is not going to cut any ice, the world of Bas B'chol, because if there's no Nesinas Tam, then you don't even get started. So that's sort of this, as I said, I think the main course, so to speak, of these last final Se'ifim is Sif Yudal. Yeah?
The latter part of Sif Yudal before the Ramah, of Olamigo or Kivas the Bela Trifa,
right.
Is that, based on what we're saying now, it should be Asur not Mitam Bas B'chol, but Mitam the Bela Trifa?
Correct, it is. That's Ramah is explaining that line. That if the Devar Ma'amid is itself Asur, because it's Nevela Treif and so forth, so
it
then... I'm sorry?
It should be mutter to do it.
It's mutter to do it, but it makes a treif.
Right, you're not
chayv mishum bishul.
There's no bishul, there's no hanah.
Correct, it's Asur because of Nevela. Correct. So I think the main course, both in terms of clarity from the sugya, the directness from the sugya, and in terms of the conceptual core, I think of these final C from the Sif Yudalf. But let's touch briefly on the previous two Seifim, Tes and Yud, deal with the question we had said before, that we're making a double distinction. When we say specifically, Mamed Ba'or Kevas Nevela, so as opposed to Ba'or Kevas Cher, which is the focus of of Se'if Yudav. It's also as opposed to, and this was the Mishnah Rishona, Mishnah Achrona in Avodah Zarah and Chulin, that to be mamed the Or HaKeva is a problem, but to be mamed with the Keva Atzma, meaning the contents of, right, if I just scoop out the contents of the Keva stomach, and I don't take the flesh of the Keva and put it into that, no, but just take out the contents, coagulated or not, the liquid, and I throw that in, that's not going to be a problem. That's not going to be a problem. Now, the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Tes and Sif Yud discusses a question of the contents of the stomach. Is it, it's clear enough, leishik, is it milchik or is it tar? I would say, well, it's milk. Yeah, you have a calf, it had nursed from its mother, its keva is full of milk. So that's a three-year machlokas that we've shown him, Rashi, Riff versus Rashi, the Ravantam taking a middle position. Based on how you read the Gemaras, do you say, Rashi says, look, the contents are milchic. They're not fleshic, but they're milchic. Okay. And the Riff understands from the Gemara that the contents are power because it's so, it's pure shabialma. It's so soured by the enzymes of the rennet that it like you were saying before, nipsal me'achila, and it's par. And the Tom says it depends whether it's karish or tzolo. The liquid is not so effective. The liquid is still, there's liquid contents of the keva, that's still milchik. But if there's already coagulated solid contents, that's already pirsha, that's par.
So according to the Riff, though, even if you could make it edible, it's still a problem. It's still, like, if you add some stuff to it, you make that sour taste good.
Yeah, I believe so. Because it was already nifsal.
Once it started as pirish, it can't become. It's already been okay.
Yeah. Now, here's one question. I want to end with this question. Shechter and Bikvatso and Simon Chavzayin quotes this question from Darche Tshuva, and it's an interesting, fascinating idea, and will take us back to last week's Chabur as well. If you can be mamid, factually speaking, you can turn a vat of milk into cheese either by taking a piece of the Or HaKeva or by taking just keva, just scooping out the contents. So what does that tell you? Simple logic. That what factor is being mamid? What item is actually driving the coagulating, the cheese making? It's not the meat. It's not the solid tissue of the stomach wall. If you need the stomach wall to do it, so then just scooping out the contents, that would never do anything. Clearly, Chazal are well aware of the fact that it's not the meat, it's not the actual Or HaKeva, which is being mamed the milk into cheese. It's the rennet. It's the enzyme that's already been exuded by the keva while the animal was still alive, which is, it's that enzyme, that liquid enzyme, which is actually mamed the milk into cheese. Yeah.
But the rennet is contained within the flesh of the stomach. So there shouldn't be a difference.
What do you mean?
That to say that it's not the flesh that's doing the ha'amada, but it really, it is because within the flesh is the rennet. So that we shouldn't have to distinguish between the rennet and the basar.
And therefore, you're saying why it's mutter, why it's aser?
In other words, you started to say that it's really the rennet that's causing the cheese to be formed.
Right.
But if there's no pre-existing cheese to be tossed into the liquid milk, then the piece of meat of the stomach will serve the same purpose because the rennet is within the meat also.
Right.
So there shouldn't be any difference.
Yes, but here's the question. But it's when I say that I took a little piece of meat and I threw it into the big vat of milk. Let's say the simple case, the arkevas nevel, the second case in Sif Yud. I had a piece of from a treif animal. I took a cut of the treif, the actual flesh of the treif animal, and I threw it in. So now all of a sudden it's even be'elef labatul. Why? Because it's davar hamamid. But what was a davar hamamid? It wasn't the meat. What I had, you're right. When I take that piece of meat, so what I really have is a piece of, take some other part of the animal, it's not going to do anything to the milk. But the Or HaKeva is saturated with rennet. So when I throw it in, the Or HaKeva, the meat, is sort of a vehicle, a delivery vehicle, for the liquid rennet that it's saturated with. But what's the Davar HaMamed? The Davar HaMamed is the rennet, not the meat. So, but the rennet isn't fleishik, it's the meat which is fleishik. The rennet is part of, rennet is not meat the same way milk is not meat. And the zavas chalvadvash, the liquids that are exuded by the animal are not fleishik. So the question is, why does the rennet is the maimed. The basar is not the maimed. So why should I say if I took a piece of treif of meat, I took a piece of bacon, and I smeared on some rennet on the bacon, and then I take it and throw it into a vat of milk. Right? A little while later, the milk has turned to cheese. Davar maimed. That's true. But I say therefore the bacon was the bacon is not batel because davar maimed. Wait, davar maimed. The bacon wasn't the maimed. I smeared on a layer of rennet onto the bacon. So Shkaya, so the bacon was the cracker. The bacon was a delivery vehicle for the rennet, for the davar maimed. The bacon itself wasn't maimed. So I have a piece of meat. It's not the meat which is being maimed. It's the rennet that's on the surface of the meat which is being maimed. So often it's strange. If maimed bekeva is not a problem, why would maimed the orha keva be any different than maimed bekeva? So, and with this we close. The Shechter suggests, this goes back to the same issue we discussed last week as well, in the context of Mei Chalav. It's yet another example of where you see that as long as two things are blended together in the original natural format, they're considered to be part of the whole. Just like we discussed last week, even though the water content of milk, once separated, is parav, at least min HaTorah, Mei Chalav is only milchik midrabanim, min HaTorah, Mei Chalav is parav. Once I separate out the liquid content, right, again, with Machlokas, Rush, and others, how much separation you have to do. But certainly, let's say, Mei Chalav, and Mamash pulled out, I did, made whey cheese, and all that's left is liquid. But water that used to be part of milk. So at that point, it's min HaTorah, it's parav. That means that whole milk, natural milk, is mostly just part of the water. So that's what we discussed. I had Dr. Chuba said, so 1 second, so how does Bittul work? I have to mevatel shishim against all the milk, or just shishim against the 18% milk solids? So the answer is you really need shishim against all the milk. Why? But once I separate it, the water content, the mechalav, is a melatorah par. And the answer is, yeah. Once you separate it, it's no longer considered part of the milk. But kolzman, if you were to mix them together afterwards, that would just be a tarovus of milk and water. But as long as they're still naturally blended, it's all milk. And he said, yes, last week we said Reshefta also had derived from blood. Even though once this plasma separates, it's no longer considered to be dam. But kolzman, it's together, the whole thing is mistarv to kazai is dam. And so on and so forth. He says here as well that as long as Chazal understood that as long as the rennet is still naturally, if I take rennet and I artificially smear it onto a piece of bacon, so that the bacon is not the davar hamamid, only the rennet is the davar hamamid. But kol zaman that the rennet is still naturally, I take a piece of Or HaKeva with the rennet that it had exuded still on the surface of the Or HaKeva, and I throw that in, that's all considered to be basar. I see that rennet that's still naturally sitting on the Or HaKeva from which it had emerged as part of the basar. What's the davar hamamid? The rennet, which at that point is still considered to be basar. Basar nevela. And then I see that as basar nevela is being mamed the milk. Once I separate it, once I go from Or HaKeva to just Keva, I just scoop out the contents of the Keva without taking the Or HaKeva itself. So at that point, it's no longer called Basa. But once I scoop it out, that's just Parva Revit. But called or Milchigren, depending on the Rif, the Rashi, and so on and so forth. But Kolzman, that it's still naturally, the Renit is still naturally sitting on the surface of, or as you suggested, maybe even saturated within the wall of the Keva, it still has a, so Kolzman's naturally there, it still has a status of Basar, and that would be called Mamed Bivasar Nevela, and Nevela it's Davar Mavil Be'Aflo Basar. Yeah.
Yeah, but then in that situation, it had a shame iser, and then you can extract out. It's a shame iser because it starts out as part of being attached to the stomach of the nevela or whatever other trefa or anything. Then once you extract it, you're making it matir, as opposed to the chalav, which by itself, just like the shach had mentioned in Lamed Hey, by itself the chalav is mutter. It's just that if you want to have it with the meat, you have to separate the chalav out from the rest of the chalav to have that with meat. Then that's okay, because then, but originally started as a heter item. It's only iser when you add the meat to it. So if you can't extract the mei chalav, that chalav part, that is not, that's par part. So it's different than the or and the keva, because that you're starting out as an iser,
but then
you're changing it to a heter.
Yeah. So that's true, but let's explain a little bit more. Because you're saying there's a difference between the mechalav vis-a-vis the chalav, where it's a question of milchik or parv, but it's mutter, versus the rennet that was in the stomach of the behemoth, the nevela, which is it actually starts as being usher. That's true. So you're saying, look, the rennet within the kevas ha-nevela, it's usher, so how does it become mutter? Right. So the answer to that is the following. The Gemara in Bechoros Daf Vav Beis wants to know, how do you ever, as this is what we touched on at the beginning, how do you ever drink milk? How do you ever drink milk? Even, so we said, trefa, milk of a behema trefa, milk of a behema tamea, yotim in a aser aser. So even milk of a kosher animal, so it should be fleshik. And it should be A, fleshik, and B, live animals are not kosher. Whether it's in a zavucha, whether it's Avram Nachai, you're not allowed to eat live animals. Right? So how are you allowed to ever drink milk? Every, but by definition, the milk is, the animal is not yet a shchuta. I couldn't eat the meat of the animal. I couldn't eat the udder of the animal while the animal is alive. So how am I ever allowed to drink any milk? Every milk is yotzim and ha'asa. So the, I'm sorry? Yes, that's Xeris HaKasav of Zavas Chal V'Dvash. So that includes not only the milk, but that seems to indicate that liquids in general that emerge from meat are not necessarily covered. I don't automatically tag everything as yotze min ha'aser. So that's why once they separate it's not going to be problematic. Ah, but you're raising the kasha. Eric is raising a sharp kasha, but the milk of a trefa is yotzim min ha'aser. You say the milk of a behemah tamei is yotzim min ha'aser. So why is it so obvious that the rennet scooped out would be mutter? Yeah, so that's a very sharp point. So let's limit it a little bit. If I take Arkevas Kshera is going to be Batal Beshishim, but until you get to Shishim, it's not Batal. But once I scoop out the contents, at that point, the liquid is not a problem at all. Once I scoop out the contents, the liquid is not a problem at all. What changed? What changed? So what changed is, Derek's raising a very sharp question. Why is it so obvious that the I'm not sure if I'm thinking about the same kasha you're thinking about, but I think you're a strong kasha. And we could have distinguished between the chalav versus the mechalav, in that there's just a question of the chalav was milchik, the mechalav is by Xer Sakasav, not milchik. But Kol Zaman that that they're blended, it still has a status of milchik. So let's just highlight one key point. Right? The contexts are not the same. And again, the context of Dam is entirely different. But let's just sort of come back to the key point is this, that in many different contexts, the halacha seems to have a common theme that applies differently in different contexts. Halacha seems to have a common theme that as long as you have the two components of something that are called upon, they're blended together naturally, they have a single status, even though once they're separated, they're no longer going to share that status. See, even though the plasma, separated plasma does not have a din of dam, but whole blood is considered to be entirely blood. Even though separated milk doesn't all the status of milk, only the nasyubi do, but the mechalv do not. But kolzman, that's whole milk, the entire thing is status of milk, kol kulo milk. See, here too, even though once I separate the rennet from the flesh, it no longer has the same status as the flesh, but as long as they're still naturally combined, the rennet itself is considered to be part of the flesh, and therefore the rennet, we see the rennet as the davar, we see the davar hamamid as the basa. But once they're separated, we don't see the davar hamamid as basa. Not with respect to fleshik, not with respect to Easter. I think. Gotta think about some more. As we got started before. There's definitely, in many ways, this is the deep end of Pezayin, the Keva, and there's more, obviously, we haven't touched on. Rama talks in Sif Yud about, you know, hardened, if I take a piece of meat, or a Keva, and I dry that so, entirely dry it out, maybe lose the status of Basar, so it's a whole other angle here, but I try to pull out sort of the key conceptual pieces that emerged from these seasons. I'm glad to stick around for questions. I say thank you so much. Have Mar Makomos Mitzvah for next week. As promised, next week's we start a new simon and a lighter, definitely more freilicha simon. Simon Pechas is the Isidra button of the serving milk and meat or eating milk and meat on the same table.
You intend to give me this one? Looks like
Yeah, sure. Either way.